Hello, hello, hello. Good evening. Happy hump day. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Let's Have a Fifi Season 12, Episode 12. This is your Wednesday night conversation, and neither one of us are Felicia Minor. But I am Freddie Prinze Charming, and my special guest host this evening to fill in for Felicia, because I don't know what the hell she's doing, something, I don't know. We have Mr. Trans USA 2023, Trey C. Michaels. I promise there was no nepotism involved in this decision at all. None whatsoever.
None at all. Just some charming connections.
I see what you did there. So I highly recommend, if you have not yet, go and subscribe to our Patreon, which you can do at patreon.com/letshaveafifi. If you want to hear the continuing story and saga of my 14-year-old's situationship. Because I have more tea, but you'll only get that tea if you subscribe to our Patreon. So we're going to catch everybody up on what is happening in that realm. So go ahead and do that. But we would like to thank our current patrons, Brandon, Chris and Michelle, D, Drake Jensen, Casey Starr, Carrie and Corey, Kim, Joan, Leanne, Nicole, and Shannon. And of course, a big thank you to Wigs of Kind for supporting us this season. I am not wearing a wig because teapots don't wear wigs. And I have to make use of this head as much as I can.
It's okay. I got the hair going for us tonight.
Thank you. I'll live vicariously through you. A big thank you to Guido Martin and Laura Renfro for supporting us this season. You can also support us, tip us, sponsor us, whatever the hell you want to do at paypal.me/letshaveafifi. We could potentially count as a charitable donation. We're not officially a 501c3, but we are poor as fuck. So if you want to, you know, help and be charitable, you can, you know, donate and we'll totally take that. I don't know if Felicia did anything this weekend, but in theory, if you text LHAF to 602-730-7379, Felicia may or may not send you texts about upcoming shows and things. I don't know. I'm not responsible for any of that, so I don't know. And if you are, of course, on Facebook, you can click the little stars button and send us stars, and we can, I don't know, earn a few cents or something. I'm not entirely sure how that works, but it does something. I just don't know what. So, yeah. About the weekend. I didn't do much of anything this weekend. Rehearsals started for Fan Fusion, which means that I did about 6 hours of cardio. And my body continues to remind me that I did 6 hours of cardio. Because my knees be hurting, and my thighs be hurting, and my back be hurting, everything be hurting. I'm not used to this anymore. You know, back when I was doing Spotlight, we were rehearsing at least once a week, sometimes more than that. And my watch told me that on Sunday, you shut your whore mouth, Ben Havoc. Jesus Christ. My watch told me that I did about 5,000 steps on Sunday, though. So it thought I was doing stuff. So that's exciting. How was your weekend? Did you do anything interesting?
You know, I was bored last week, and I had this great idea to have my tonsils taken out last Friday.
Oh,
so
that's one.
You know, I went to the doctor a couple months ago, and I was like, I can't breathe. I've got these balls in my throat, and that's not what I
got. So sometimes balls in the throat aren't necessarily a bad thing.
You know, sometimes, but these ones, I really wish they'd been a little bit lower.
Sensual.
That part.
Balls in your throat.
But yeah, no, I spent my weekend recovering from that. Let me getting your tonsils out as an adult. When they say it's rough, it's they're lying. It's horrible. The surgeon I spoke to said it's like giving birth through your throat and getting rubbed. And I was like, ow. But that's how this feels. So But yeah, no, I spent my weekend literally just recovering, watching Netflix, and just eating all the ice cream. And I know everyone thinks.
All right, what are you watching on Netflix? Anything new, or are you rewatching shit?
I've actually been watching Delicious in Dungeon, that anime where it's just all these characters like going through this dungeon and they're fighting monsters and they're making meals out of them. And it's actually really good. I'm like, now I want to order some like fried rice. Like I want some Asian cuisine right now, like sushi, whatever, like something. So
I may have to check that out. I've heard about it, but I don't really know. Like, I've heard about it, but I haven't heard anything about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I like it, actually. Like, it's caught my attention. It keeps the ADHD on it, so.
I would say that's a good endorsement.
Yeah. I also watched, one of the Exorcist movies. I think it's, like, the newest one that's on Amazon Prime. It was okay.
Nothing really beats the original. Like, the original has, like the cheesy charm that goes along with all the horror
that
movies.
Pea soup, all that.
Right.
And they tried to, don't get me wrong, in this one they tried to like mention Reagan and stuff, and I was just kind of like, y'all realize this movie's not doing it, so you're going to reference to try and bring her in. It didn't work. I did go see the movie Abigail, because I was like, you know what, I'm feeling fine, let's go to the movies and see. It was a fun movie. Young girl, who's a vampire, you know, gets kidnapped, kills all her kidnappers except the one she made a pinky promise with. So, yeah, it was okay. It was okay. I was not scared. I was more annoyed than anything, because I was like, it's cold in here and all I can have is water. Can't even have popcorn.
Oh, boo. No. God, no, that would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, horrible. I'm almost 45 and I still have my tonsils, but the way things have been going, I feel like that's probably like next what's going to happen, because I, you know, this seems to be the year for like all the random shit. So I'm shaving my head because, you know, lost my hair, got pink eye for the first time, you know? So I feel like this is probably, I feel like that's going to be happening at some point. I feel
my surgeon was, I went in and I was like, yeah, dude, I need these out. He's like, so like you've had like what, strep like once or twice? I was like, I had it 7 times last year. I had it 6 times the year before. I've had it twice this year. And he goes, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Like what happened to like in your life? And I was like, I got divorced. Life just kind of
went. Oh yeah. And now I have to wear glasses. Like I actually have to wear glasses now. Like, you know, so there's all these things that are like, yeah. Although
no one prepared us for this.
I feel like my partner probably needs to have hers out, because she gets strep all the time. All the time.
I am, as this doctor said, I am a carrier. I give it to myself. I don't even have to be around anyone. I can just give myself strep just to do it.
So you're sort of circle jerk kind of thing. That's.
all I know is at this point I am so hungry for real food. I've got a list of food that I'm ready to eat.
God damn it, Ben Havoc, you are just on one tonight. I'm just thinking, whatever,
you're just adding the accessories to it.
My disappointed dad look is like even better now, like because I can do it like over the glasses. Okay. So the disappointed dad is like, it's a real whole ass feeling now, because I could just you know, so
listen, doing this title have, this year, same.
Right. Gosh, Jesus Christ. Oh. So without Felicia here, basically I'm just like, this is a fucking free-for-all, because Felicia's not here and I don't care. So I didn't actually like prepare any sort of tip for tonight, because I told Trey, I was like, hey, you've been, you know, Mr. Trans USA now for like 6 months. Let's talk about some of the shit that you've seen during your reign that folks probably need to be educated on. Let's talk about some of the bullshit that you had to deal with, because I feel like there is some.
Oh, there's all kinds. Let me tell you, it's as I tell. Listen, there's almost at least once or twice a week I am texting Abs, and I'm like, this wasn't in my contract. He goes, oh, that fine print that you didn't read. It's in there, I'm sure.
It's other duties as assigned. Is that what it is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, that's not fair.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you. Bastards.
So at this point now, I'm like, can you just give that to my Miss Trans USA? Let her do that. He's like, no, it's both of you. You both get this. But no, we're 6 months in now. Registration has been open since January 15th-ish. We are currently around 80 to 90 registered contestants, and that's across all three divisions. So for our Miss contestants, we're about, I think, 40-ish. And then between Mr. and Mix, it brings us up to about 40, 45-ish. So we're kind
now,
of
are you,
hubbing around.
Are you checking that all the Mix contestants, like, haven't run for any of the other, you know, things, the binary titles? They're not allowed to run for binary titles. Because
oh, no, I went through and I was like, oh, sorry, you want to be mixed, but, you know, I see one time in the past you did a Miss title. Nope, sorry. Oh, and you missed her? That's even a double nope.
Ooh, good, because, you know, we have to make sure that those gates are kept well.
Keep those gates. Except we don't know what the gate looks like or where it goes, but we're going to keep them. Sounds like a hoarding problem. No,
you
definitely.
Never know when you might need them.
I will say with this year, it's especially with the mixed category. You know, when we were sitting there, we were trying to talk about like how we were going to make this division look and stuff. You know, for Mister, it's pretty simple, right? The Mister categories, this is what you're, you know, is expected look wise. You know, as far as outfits for Miss, we know y'all are going to wear gowns. What is Mix going to do? And my biggest thing was, I was like, we can't put, like, oh, you have to wear a suit or you have to wear. My rule that I tell everyone is, I just want to make sure your stuff fits. Just make sure your stuff fits. I don't care what that is. You know, good patterns. You don't want to go out there in polka dots and stripes. Might clash a little bit. But if you want to, that's your choice. That's your choice. But the judges just may not get it. But honestly, I will say, like, this year, just with our mixed category and just really opening it up to them, the ideas and inspiration these people are like, they'll message me, here's what I'm thinking about for my state, or here's what I'm thinking about for swimwear. Swim category has been the biggest category that's making everyone nervous. And for you,
I'm not gonna lie, like, if I were competing, swimwear would make me nervous. Like, if I were to compete right now, like, with everything that, you know, I'm like, I don't know what kind of swimsuit I would want to be in that would make me feel like comfortable,
sexy,
and confident. Because, like, I've got a dad bod. I'm not one of these 45-year-olds that are in the gym 7 days a week. Like, that's not my jam. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen.
You do all your cardio in one day for the week instead of spreading it out.
Yes, I do. At least for the next month or so. Yes, that's exactly
for the next 30 days.
2 days. 2 days, actually, Saturdays and Sundays. So, yes. But, yeah, no, I, like, that was, like, that's my, like, in thinking about, like this particular pageant, the swimwear category, I always had questions about it because, as we know, when it comes to trans folks, not everybody is, you know, 23 and ripped. Not everybody has had top surgery in any form. Not everybody has had bottom surgery. Not everybody has had, you know, so it's like, how?
And see, when the pageant first came around, and I remember reading that for, like, the Mr. category, like, just a lot of the stuff they were having was as far as, like, rules of, like, what you could not wear. I was like, this is very restrictive. So last year when I got to compete, it was pretty chill, right? You know, misters, you have to have a swimsuit. Basically, can't show your butthole. So sorry if you want to show your butthole, can't show your butthole.
Well, fuck, there goes that then. Never
there
mind.
Goes everything.
I was going to compete. Now, you know what?
You
fuck y'all,
keep
if
some,
I share my butthole.
You got to keep some of your butt cheeks covered. Not all of it. Just, you know, just enough. but the so thing I noticed last year was for all of us misters, you know, some of us had some cute little accessories, right? Like a cute little hat. I wore some simple black booty shorts. which don't get me wrong, I love my body. I love it, especially at the pool. It's great. Modeling around on stage like that with no shoes, just that, I was very uncomfortable, right? Like, I didn't feel sexy. I felt super awkward because I was like, my body's not where I want it to be.
Mm.
The thing I noticed too was, you know, a lot of us, you know, Mr. Contestants, we're autistic and spicy brains. So we're sitting there just like the floor feels gross on our bare feet.
I wouldn't want to be modeling in bare feet. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. Like my feet aren't, I don't like being barefoot indoors. Like my feet, I have flatter feet and it's uncomfortable and I don't like it. And it's like,
there's a reason I wear chunkless. Like,
right.
But so the thing I had noticed too was, I was like, okay, all of this guys, like, we're cute, whatever. But like, you could tell we all just weren't as confident. There was just that weird little, and then I had noticed, again, my I statement was that I looked at these girls and I was like, the girls are looking gorgeous, but they also get to wear their heels and their swimsuits are gorgeous as well, but they're embellished and all this stuff. And they've got jewelry and hair and makeup. And I get it, it's a pageant, but the way I understand it's, and you can't get in the, I can, but you can't.
Right.
So this year, you know, as we were doing the mix thing, the thing I brought up to the admin team was, with our mix contestants, we are going to have such a variation of presentation, right? They're non-binary. So,
right.
What does a non-binary person wear? Trunks of one piece? Like, so the thing I have basically told them all was, I was like, I want to make this to where it's folks are comfortable, right? So what I've been telling all my contestants this year is, what would you wear if you were doing a photo shoot in Vegas poolside? Can't get in the pool, right? Because you're looking good. You're taking a photo shoot. Maybe afterwards you can put your feet in. But what do you want to wear? What's going to make you feel so sexy as fuck going out onto that, you know, stage and modeling? When I tell you, the minute I put it that way to folks, all of a sudden it changes. I have had some of the most creative swimsuit, like swimmer ideas, like sent to me.
Just inside of that, a mermaid tail and an old band t-shirt and a non-binary swimsuit. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yes, yes. But that mermaid tail has to have at least a little hole so you can kind of like get your feet out, you know,
right,
wobble around. Shuffle across that stage. But no, I've had quite a few folks, like once I kind of gave them that, like, I want you to feel, you know, what would you wear? I had one guy message me. He's like, I'm thinking about doing like a 1920s themed swimwear.
That was what I see. And I had mentioned that when we had Dylan on last year, I told him, I said, in my head, that's what I would totally do is I would have like the 1920s. I would have a fucking parasol, like, because it's very my style anyway. Like, it's like, if anybody who knows me knows that is so, like, that is totally something as for like a photo shoot, like a pinup fucking like thing that you would find like a 1920s style, like thing. I would totally fucking do that.
Yep.
Like, that. And he was like, yeah, but we can't really do that because is it a costume or is it swimwear? And I'm like, but the queens all wear like massive dinner plates in their ears. They don't wear that shit to the beach. Are you crazy? There's no fucking way.
And the thing is that came up too a lot is, you know, well, that's a costume. Everything's a costume. Drag is a costume. At the end of the day, if I'm in drag and I'm going as Trey and I put on even just a plain suit, my copper suit, it's still a costume. I'm only wearing it on stage. Like, right. So that my biggest thing was, I was like, I want people to feel comfortable, especially in this. This isn't a drag pageant, right? We keep saying it's not a drag pageant. It's a trans pageant. It's sitting here highlighting how these trans people look. And trans people look and dress so differently, right? I was dressed in one certain way. This summer, who knows? I might dress more cowboy. Perks of being an adult. I can change how I want.
Right? I don't know what the fuck I'm on. I'm older.
Exactly. But yeah, no. So swimwear is, I know a lot of folks were pretty nervous about it, but like just talking to them and, you know, Anya and I have told them, just do you. Like if you were doing a photo shoot in Vegas poolside, what are you going to look like? And that right there has just helped people be like, oh, this isn't as nerve-wracking as I thought it would be. Like
if with those parameters, I think it's going to be better because it gives folks a more opportunity to really actually be able to express themselves and like, here's a Speedo, go. Exactly. Cause it's like, okay. Cause like if someone's wearing a Speedo, maybe they're like for trans guys. Right. So a lot of trans guys, like myself included, if I'm just going out somewhere, I don't usually pack because there's no reason.
That part.
But there are some times when I do, like I usually wear my STP to the Ren Faire just because it's easier. But for guys that don't really pack much at all, ever, if they're in a Speedo, are they going to feel comfortable not packing? Because it's a different, you know what I mean, than just putting on like some board shorts. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you're in something that's like a little more form-fitting. You can now see things, and it's like...
I know for me, like if I had to wear a Speedo, me personally, yeah, I would feel dysphoric, right? I would feel wearing underwear. And like, don't get me wrong, it's one thing to be wearing underwear backstage, but now I'm on stage and there's... And the thing is, I forgot my packer. So I was like, well... And like, I had all the guys there. And I will say this, like, for the Mr. side of things, like, backstage was amazing. Like, it was... It didn't even feel like we were competing. Because at one point, I was like, guys, I forgot my dick. And everyone's like, hold on, I had extra socks. Like,
I mean, let's be real. That's usually how that works with, mm-hmm. like, you know, anytime it's like a king pageant or like any sort of like sort of male presenting AFAB. You know, I've seen some of the divas get a little diva-y. But as far as like the kings and stuff, as far as we go, we're usually a lot more like, oh, here. I don't really think my talent was that great. So here, take my suit because I'm not going to even come close to making top 12. And even though you're, you know what I mean? Like, so we like, that's
that part. How we roll. Well, and that I know there was one point I can't remember what it was. I was putting something on, you know, and one of my, you know, the contestants, he came over, he's like, hold up. I need to like, let me buff your shoes. Cause he does leather. He's a boot black. So he sat there real quick, pulled out all his stuff, shine my shoes real quick. It was just great. One of the guys was like, I got a stain on my shirt. And we're like, hold on. We're going to tie your tie and pin it in a way to where it's not going to, like, it was just, backstage was great. Like I said, I forgot my dick. I had Mr. Wisconsin, Trevor, our pony boy there, watching him get his, you know, butt sprayed onto him. We called him his chicken cutlets to give him a butt. So we were all backstage. Can I touch your butt? Sure. And we're all just passing around these cutlets. Like,
I mean, I can relate. I have no butt. I would probably need to have some like the little patty things. Cause like, I have no butt.
Listen, he put that on and he instantly, he's like, oh, I have a butt. I'm keeping these on forever. But no, the pageant itself was a blast. As I tell people, you know, when I went, I wasn't expecting to win. I really wasn't. Like, headspace was not really there.
You were up until like pretty much the last minute. You were still debating on whether or not you were going to even mm-hmm. go.
Well, and that was the thing. You know,
we had that conversation.
I had texted you. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't been able to fundraise. You know, drama here at home. I just wasn't there because I was just also like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Thankfully, you know, my bio dad was like, what do you need? And I was like, it's the flight and the hotel. I literally have everything else. Years of drag. I have the whole package. It's just
right.
No way to get there. No money. And he was like, oh, let me look. Oh, it's a Hilton. He covered it. He's like, I got a bajillion points. Here you go. And I was like, dang it. now I have an excuse. But no, I went and, you know, as I tell people, the hardest part about going was, you know, this was my first national pageant. I've been doing drag 13 years. This was my third national pageant and I was alone. I didn't have any team with me. I didn't have, you know, I'd always had Violette with me in the past. So for me, I was completely alone.
I told
alone.
You to fucking tell me and I would have gone with you.
It was, but that was the thing. I was like, I'm not going to go. It was, but it was actually an amazing experience. I will say, like, especially winning. So one at the pageant, they're like, all right, everyone, we're going to go back to the hotel. Trey, send in music because we have the victory show. And I was like, I didn't bring drag because, you know, it's not a drag pageant.
Right.
And he goes, oh, absinthe. Like, hmm. He goes, hold on. Romeo, Chase, y'all got something? And they're like, we got him. I was like, dang it. Dang it. But no, after winning, it was actually nice to be able to just take a moment in my room. And like, I actually got to cry about it because it was sad, but it was also nice to be like, holy cow, like I did this. Mm-hmm. Didn't need someone to hold my hand the whole time I was here. Like that was just, I will say after that, life totally just on the upswing.
I know, like you've been all over the place, which is fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I got to visit New Orleans. I got to do a national walk there. I've been to DC at this point. I'm booked for Nashville Pride, which will be my first time ever going there. So, and while the big gigs are nice, my favorite gig that I've been like approached for is I'm going to do a queer youth prom up in Colorado Springs. Perform, basically be a chaperone and just hang out with a bunch of queer youth. Like, that's to me, awesome. I'm super excited about that one.
That's awesome. Like, I love doing the all ages shit, because that's like, it's about the visibility. It's about, you know, being able for like the youth and the kids to be like, no, we survive and we thrive, mm-hmm. and we're around and this is a thing. Like, no, that shit's important for sure, for sure.
I tell the youth, listen, life is not easy, right? Being trans, mm-hmm. it's when we say it gets better, I'm not saying you're going to grow up and life is phenomenal and everyone. No, people hate us, right? That's just the reality. We see it. We see it with all this legislation. But it does get better because you can find your community who's going to support you in being you. You're trans? And that's great. If your identity switches like this, cool. Just keep me up to date so I use the right pronouns. Right. That's all I ask. Especially working with the youth, let me tell you, that is the biggest thing I'm learning is our youth from like 13 to about, I'm going to say like 22. So our youth, young adults, the way the identities switch, and it's not a bad thing, right? I've seen them be like, I'm trans femme, I'm trans mask, I'm non-binary, I'm a mix, I'm this, I'm that. I know one kid who identifies as a number. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it, but you know what, though? The smile on their face of, hey, 17, okay. I need you to pick up your trash. Okay. It works, right? So the thing I've learned is, the biggest thing I've learned is like, you know what? It doesn't hurt anyone if a kid's just exploring, right? Let them explore. It's like changing your hair color. It's when you start putting them down if, you know, no, you're not. You're not a number. That's ridiculous. That's when all of a sudden they get the attitude. Right. It's no one gets it.
You know, it's what? Like, you're right. Like, I don't fucking get it.
But I don't.
Whatever.
But I'm going to respect a number, you.
Go here. Like, okay.
As long as you pick up your trash when you're done with it, I don't care what you... Like,
do you? But, mm-hmm. What has been, like, as far as interacting with people, like... sort of the outside world since winning your title, what has been like one of your like biggest challenges? Like, what is one of the things that you're like, oh my God, why are we still dealing with this? You're welcome.
We have been, it's, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we went through a phase, we had to go through a point where our sash maker, our original one, she got really sick right as like registration was opening. Ooh. So we had to start finding other sash makers, and it's difficult, right? Because everyone's already got all their orders in from all their other contestants. So
right,
that's been definitely the biggest. We call it Sashgate 2.0. I don't know where the 2.0, I don't even know what happened to 1.0, but we're on 2.0 now. But no, waiting on that one, that's been the frustrating part, because it's like, you know, our contestants want their sashes. They want to represent. They want to be able to go out there and be like, look, here's who I am. And it's just frustrating to be like, I don't know. I can't tell you when your sash is going to be done. Like, we had literally, I think our first day of registration, we had at least 50 people register.
So I'm gonna throw this out there. Serotonin now has the ability to make sashes.
I'm gonna hit up my sibling.
I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, because
I was gonna throw that out there.
I'm gonna talk to them.
Have you found that, like, like when you're trying to like get sashes done, if you're reaching out to people, have you ever had anybody be like, I don't know, like I don't do the whole trans thing?
As far as I know, no. So thankfully, from what I've heard, no one, like, Abs has been more in charge of the sash stuff. So it hasn't been anyone being like, oh, trans stuff. It's more of, oh, you need 80 sashes now.
I mean, no. if you hit up Serotonin, you may have to wait until after Fan Fusion because she's got a lot of shit on her plate. But she does make sashes now. I'm just throwing that.
Thankfully, we've got someone, but I'm gonna keep her in mind for next year because, I'm all about supporting our trans siblings. Like, I'd rather bring her in on it. Like, but no, that's been the sashes has been that one. You know, I was always told, you know, even as a contestant and other systems and stuff, always hearing the national title holders, people don't read the handbook. They don't read the handbook. And I'm like, no, that's not true. So I think my biggest frustration, you know, for anyone who knows me, right? The folks who know me, especially Phoenix folks and family, I just say what's on my mind. I try and filter it so it's somewhat nice, but I just say what's on my mind. So like, here, there's the information you need.
Yeah.
Really, I'm going to be like, obviously you didn't read the handbook. Period, end of story. Because if you did, you wouldn't be asking.
Yeah, no, people literally don't read the fucking handbook. They never fucking do. And it's like reading a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most people don't. They just sign it, and then they're done. And it's like, no. Like, and for any contestant, for any system, for anything that you are doing, read all the things. Read
that handbook is your Bible.
Read the Bible. Read any paper that comes into your possession, whether it's a digital copy or whether it is an actual like hard copy. Read it, because there's information in there, number one, that you could probably not bother somebody about, because the answer is in that handbook or in that contract or whatever. Because don't bother people if you have a stupid question, because they're going to be like, well, you obviously didn't read the fucking handbook. So
that part.
trust. Plus, things like handbooks, contracts, stuff like that. Everything in there is designed to basically cover both parties' asses. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's going to give you guidelines, what you can and can't do, what is expected. Usually even depending, I mean, most handbooks will even have, you know, if you happen to win, these are the expectations,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you can't be like, oh, I had no idea. Well, if you had no idea, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. And I tell everyone, pageants, this is a job interview. At the end of the day, Mr. Trans, you would say, this is a job. Right, like this is a full-time job.
I find it interesting that people are like, it's not a job, it's just drag. Then you're not doing it right. Because
how are those gigs going? How are those bookings going?
I'm like, even if you just drag as in general, it's like, okay, so yes, this is a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me about it. But like every gig I have is a job, because they're going to be paying me, hopefully, you know, to perform certain tasks. And in my head, it's like, okay, well, I'm representing that bar, that show, that producer, that whatever the fuck it is, that organization. Like, it's still a job. You are expected to be somewhere at a mm-hmm. certain time and perform certain duties. If you are unable to do that shit,
soberlish,
then don't fucking do this.
That part. I will definitely say, like I said, it's one of those things where I don't think people like read it all the way through, which again, I don't mind. I love to talk. I love to hear myself. So, but there comes a point, you know, I did it. There was one point in our contestant chat where I finally told him, I was like, listen, y'all, I understand you're frustrated. You don't have your sashes. I'm frustrated being asked the same question every week, thinking you're going to get a different answer. I don't know what to tell you all. You can keep asking. It's not going to happen. And I got told, I don't think it's appropriate that a national title holder projects their frustrations onto his contestants when his miss isn't.
I'm sorry. What?
I text my miss and I was like, ma'am, you better hop in here. You better hop in here. Thank goodness she hopped. She didn't even send a message. She sent a voice message. She goes, so I'm just going to stop everyone right now. I'm with Trey on this. It is super frustrating. Y'all keep asking the same question, hoping for a different answer. And when you don't get it, you get bitchy. Like, if we could give you all the answers, we would.
And it's one thing, like, so it took me almost a year and a half to get my former sash when I stepped down.
It just takes time sometimes.
And, like, I asked about it a couple of times. Pretty much got ghosted every single time. So that was cool.
You didn't get your former sash. I didn't get my second alternate sash from that year either.
Still? You still haven't gotten it?
I haven't heard from any of those people. I got told it got shipped out, and I was like, where to get shipped to?
Right. It's in the mail. It's like one of those girls selling the hair, you know, that they warn you about on, like, you know, drag buyers beware or whatever the fuck it is.
Those are my favorite to read, though, especially when it's a brand new queen. When she's like, I knew better, but I still did it. Right. I don't feel bad for you.
Right. Good for you. What did you learn? Yeah.
I think the worst thing I would say about being a title holder is the amount of people who have an opinion on what they think a national title holder is or should be doing. And for most people, it's, they think, oh, well, you should be doing stuff for free. No, I'm not going to do stuff for free. I do stuff for free. Don't get me wrong. Depending on who my home bar sidewinders, you know, I don't charge them my booking fee because that's my home bar. Right? Like, they take care of me.
My God, can you imagine if I had actually tried to, like, charge people here my booking fee when I was a title holder? Nobody fucking here would have paid that.
Listen.
There's no fucking way.
My booking fee, there are some people that are like, I would love to book you. What's your booking fee? And I'm like, it's this. And they're all... I was like, yeah. This part has been, especially coming home, there was quite a few folks who... you know how your communities can be. They like to just talk shit. So it was, well, Trey may have done that, but it's not a real title. That's the only national title that's come back here, as far as I know. But what do I know? Sorry, it's not a drag title. It's a national, it's an advocacy title, though, which is, I think, an even bigger deal.
Well, that's why. It's not a drag title, so it doesn't count.
I don't see the rest of them doing it. I did have someone who, you know, about beginning of March, you know, we had talked about this. I work at Sidewinders. I'm a bouncer there. I love it. I get to hang out with my community. At the end of the night, I get to yell at all of them, get out, go home. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Like, it's great. It's a way for me to yell without being, like, mean about it. But, you know, about, you know, beginning of March, I was kicking some folks out, you know, who were drunk. And when I say drunk, I don't mean, like, a little drunk, like, one of them had grabbed a door and slammed it into another patron, right? So I was like, hey, y'all, it's time to go. You've had way too much. Just go home. You're done for the night. You can come back tomorrow. They start fighting, you know, with each other. They start fighting with me. One of their friends comes out, who's a trans girl. And she's like, Trey, what's happening? What's going on? I was like, girl, your friends, they're too drunk. They got to go. Well, do I have to go? No, you're fine, girl. Like, you weren't part of any of this. You're fine. Like, but I know you came with them. So I'm just letting you know, they have to go, but you can stay or go. I don't care. Walking through the bar, and the best part, this is all on camera. Get through the front door. Get through the front door, and the first two who were the problem get out. And the trans girl looks at me, and I don't know what happened. She just snapped. Like, it was a different person appeared. And she's all, fuck you, Trey, grabs my hat, rips it off, and goes to throw a punch at me. So I ducked and she hit her friend and it just set it off.
Sorry.
Mind you, this, oh no, it's hilarious now. It's hilarious. Like, because people are like, you're laughing at this. It's hilarious because if you watch the video, you see her swing at me and I go, whoop. Not much, just a little. She hits her friend. They all snap. It turned into a 3-on-1. I was fighting off 3 people, right? I've got a trans girl, I've got a cis girl, and then I've got a gay boy. Like, all of them just coming at me, and I'm just like, I'm trying not to hurt these kids. I did martial arts. So I'm like, I'm just trying to push them off. If I can get them outside of the bar, I can close the gates, right? I can... Ends up, at one point, all 3 of them jumped me, right? At some point, like, I'm on the ground doing this. They're all punching the back of my head in. And I'm thinking, and I look up and I see my community members walking by with their phones being like, oh shit, that's crazy. Like, no one, finally someone had called 911. So cops showed up, ambulance, all this stuff shows up. Before they do, thankfully, my other coworker was able to get these folks off me. I run inside, I'm resting, I'm relaxing. The trans girl tried to run around the bar. She hopped the back fence, tried to get into the bar to still come and attack me more. So the cops arrested her. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to press charges, but I need to. Like, I would never want to press charges if she had just slapped me, but I thought I was going to die that night, right? Like, I still got, like, fuzzy brain. I got this concussion still.
Consequences. Like, you can't just do shit and get away with it and be like, no, no, mm-hmm. bad.
Like, so, you that, know, I had written a status about it, letting people know. And I had some people be like, oh, this was a hate crime. It was a targeted. No, actually, it wasn't. They were just drunk. You know, and at the end of the day, I can't get mad at these kids. You know, as elders, I have to say this now, as, you know, Sassy puts it, we're elders.
what the fuck am I then? If y'all are fucking elders, I'm an ancestor.
Elder. But, you know, I posted saying, you know, as elders, I can't get too mad at these kids because they came into the bar and they got drunk because they're dealing with their trauma that way, because that's how they've watched for years, generations. Our queer trauma has always dealt with our trauma by drinking and substances and all that stuff. Right. So no, you know what? My goal is I want to get them help, right? Let's put them on probation for a year. They can't drink for a year. They can't use substances. They are going to get drug tested, put them in therapy. Like, I don't want them in jail. There's other ways for them to learn their lesson and get healthy. Right? So I put this up there and I made it very clear what I was doing. And I had people, this is a great idea, brother. This is amazing. One of those people decided, you know what? Let's message TransUSA. Mr. TransUSA is a horrible representation. How dare he press charges? A good trans person would sit down and talk with that trans
person. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
What she did was wrong. And I'm all... The best part about this was, you know, it was sent and I saw it. Because, you know, Mr. TransUSA. Right. Goes to the page. I won't lie, I raged. I was ready to... blast the person and go all kinds of crazy, but I was like, you know what, this says more about you than me, because
right.
So it's been that, it's been very much people thinking that, well, you're Mr. Trans USA, you shouldn't be doing anything. What, you, how dare you press charges, how dare you, your story is incredible, you don't live here,
you play live stupid here, games, win stupid prizes. Like, that's just like, I'm sorry, but they're lucky that you didn't be like, no, fucking throw the book at them. Like,
well, and I tell everyone, assault. I was like, you know, like, what? They're lucky it's just assault battery charges and not murder charges.
Right.
But clearly,
or attempted murder. Or, you know, if one of them had come at you with some sort of weapon, that would be assault with a deadly weapon. That could have been, like, it could have been a lot of fucking worse. Like, no, consequences need to happen because then people don't fucking learn. Like,
that part, like,
and even then, they still probably don't fucking learn. Like, how many times have we seen people that have, like, the little blowy thingies in their car, and then they get somebody else to blow them, and, you know, they can, you know, so they can actually, like, drive. Like, people still don't fucking learn because people are fucking stupid, but it still could have been a hell of a lot worse. So, yeah, no, that's horseshit. Yeah,
no. So, no, that's been definitely been it, right? Where people are just very much, they think they know what a national title holder is, or. And thankfully, like, there are people in my community who have been pride title holders, monarchs or something, where they're like, we're not on a national level like you are, but like, we get it. Like,
right.
This weird expectation that people have of you to be perfect. And I tell people all the time, I'm not perfect. I'm autistic. I'm ADHD. Right now, my throat's killing me from surgery. I'm just going to be a grumpy old man. You all just got to deal with it.
And that's totally fair. But speaking of grumpy old men, as far as current events and stuff go, President Biden signed a bill today that could lead to a nationwide TikTok ban. Now, Congress passed the bill this week as part of a wide-reaching foreign aid package designed to support Israel and the Ukraine, which seems contradictory, but, you know, what do I know? So in the bill, TikTok's parent company has 270 days to sell the company. And what the hell does TikTok have to do with foreign aid? I wondered that myself, because I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? So the sneaky-ass Republicans, yeah, attached the TikTok shit to a foreign aid bill because we all love a bundle. So when the foreign aid bill got signed in, the TikTok shit got signed in as well. Yeah, because that's a thing. And I really, 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 really wish that this fucking foreign aid bill was not going to, like, support Israel and the Ukraine. The Ukraine, yes, fine. Israel, I'm a little skeptical on that one. In Arizona politics, so Carrie Lake, once proving again that she is batshit crazy, is now complaining that the Arizona abortion ban isn't being enforced, despite only having just said that she opposed the ban. But now she's mad that it's not being enforced, even though she said that she didn't like the ban. Why? Why does Arizona keep turning out the fucking crazies? Why? When it comes to, like, politicians. I don't understand this. Fucking cinema, like we don't, why?
They're trying to get Florida to run from their money, it seems like.
At this point, it's like, when you hear something fucked up in the news, like, it used to be, it was a guarantee that it was either going to be, like, Florida or Texas. Yeah. Now, Arizona's kind of getting in there, because we got people like fucking Lake and Cinema and all these assholes that are, like, 3 grand short of a full box. Like, this is...
Listen, when it came out about what Arizona did with that abortion bill, you know, like, if for folks who don't know, outside of Mr. Trans USA, I work for Planned Parenthood. Right? Like, I work for Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains here in New Mexico. I have worked in the abortion clinic. I've been in the room during an abortion, right? And when you hear people, these aunties, right? I don't call them pro-life, right? I'm going to give everyone a lesson.
No, because they're pro-birth.
They're
pro-life.
Aunties. They're anti-choice.
I
am pro-life. I love living. I'm also pro-birth for those who want to give birth. But I'm pro-choice. They're anti-choice. They want to just take choices away from everyone, whether that person wants it or not. Like, but the thing that they get wrong is they think automatically it's, oh, these abortions, they're like this. It's these horrible people. It's used as a form of, you know, birth control. Well, if we could get birth control to people who can get pregnant, anyone with a vagina or uterus, we wouldn't need abortions. It's that simple. But once Arizona announced that, my job was like, all right, y'all, we know you're tired from Texas, Wyoming, now Arizona, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, like the whole South, right? It's, yeah, our job stress went up.
Yeah. I think last summer when I was driving from here to Michigan, I think it was, I don't remember what state line it was. It might have been Indiana into Illinois or something into Indiana. I don't remember. It was one, like, there's, as soon as you hit the state line, there's a great big sign that said, need an abortion? We got you.
Illinois.
Yeah.
Yes. Illinois is one of the safe states.
Like, there was, like, it was like, oh my God. Like, this fucking, this country blows my fucking mind. I don't
don't. See, and what I'm seeing is there's quite a few states. It's slowly happening. New Mexico actually led the way last year with this. So last year, New Mexico became the safest state in the nation. They were looking at federal level and watching everyone be, we're not sure if we're going to pass this. We don't know. And New Mexico said, hold my green chili. and basically, essentially passed that equality bill for New Mexico, right? So what's great now about New Mexico is if Carrie Lake's neighbor comes here to have an abortion and Carrie Lake finds out about it and wants to press charges, the state of Arizona can come to New Mexico and say, we need this person's medical records to prove they had an abortion. And New Mexico is going to go. New Mexico also, you know, insurance is here. They have to cover trans health care. To what extent, I don't know. But basically, like, if Blue Cross Blue Shield said, we don't like trans people. We don't want to cover them anymore. Can't sell here then. Like, so yeah, it's. It started with New Mexico, and then all of a sudden you saw it with Illinois. And then I believe Minnesota was another one. I think New York became another safe state. Like, you're seeing these states becoming safe states pop up.
And speaking of that, Sacramento is now, they are officially a trans sanctuary city.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
That is relatively new as of just a couple of days, I believe. But they are, like, officially now, like, a trans sanctuary city. So there's that. Several universities around the country have been holding pro-Palestine protests, which, of course, the Israeli defense minister is calling anti-Semitic. Now, here's the thing. Protesting mass genocide is not anti-Semitic. That the protests are not anti-Jewish. They are not anti-Israeli people. They are anti-violence. They are anti-hypocrisy. They are anti-genocide.
They're anti-Israeli government committing genocide.
Right. Which is not anti-Semitic. It's not.
At all.
At all. And just because they're pro-Palestine doesn't mean that they are anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, anti-any of those things. And that's what I keep trying to tell people. It's like the Israeli government is not necessarily the Israeli people. There's a difference there. Like, there's...
The American government is not a representation of what I believe in, right? Like...
And unfortunately, you do have the people in the military on all sides that are like, well, I have my orders.
I get that.
Well, fine, but that argument didn't work very well for the Nazis after World War II, but whatever. Eventually, that shit's going to come bite you in the ass. But in related news, the UN has called for an independent investigation on two mass graves found at Gaza hospitals that were raided by Israeli troops this year. Just going to throw that out there. One grave had 324 bodies in it. Now, as a reminder, hospitals are entitled to special protections under humanitarian law, and the intentional killing of civilians, etc., is a war crime. So while, you know, the Israeli defense minister is calling pro-Palestine protests anti-Semitic, meanwhile, the Israeli government is bombing hospitals, children.
And, you know, I'm not laughing at it, but I'm laughing thinking about it because, so last night I was on Instagram because I had to go back to the hospital. My throat decided to be weird. So I was sitting there in the ER, you know, scrolling, and I'm watching the protest that was happening over on UNM campus right down the road from me. And thinking about that, hearing how, like, this person being like, they're anti-Semitic, they're horrible. And I'm watching this protest, and it is a bunch of college students, right? Not all of them, but a good chunk of college students who did an encampment, and then the cops showed up. So you know what they did? They all picked up their tents, and they just walked around the UNM University campus. They didn't stop. They protested. They were just walking with their tents.
Yep.
So to me, I'm like, you all are literally killing innocent people and you're mad because some college students are walking around with their tents calling for a ceasefire?
Yeah. That's the we have an issue with priorities here. Like people are
a lot of folks Columbia University is going online. They're closing down in-person classes for the rest of the semester.
Yep. Yes, they are. They made the announcement that they were going to try a hybrid for their finals, but I think they're just going straight online for their finals.
They didn't even jump this fast for COVID.
The American government has a habit of really kind of sticking their foot in it when it comes to politics with other countries and things. Because I don't know, a lot of folks are too young to know that, like, when it came to like Desert Storm, when it came to Afghanistan, when it came to Al Qaeda, when it came to ISIS, when it came to all this, we trained them. We gave them weapons. And then we were like, oh shit.
And I think with that, because if you think about it, I think a lot of other governments were thinking, because they saw what happened, right? That was 9/11. Groups, right, of 9/11, and they were hoping the same thing would happen this time around, but all of us grew up from 9/11 and we're like, no, we saw what you did, we saw you lie, and you're lying again.
it's
when it comes to both sides, because, you know, for me, I grew up, I could be very religious, I read the Bible, so like reading the history of Israel and the Jewish people, like, and how it's their promised land, and then now you're looking at it in today's politics. I just trying to talk to people about it. I'm like, listen, this is just what I know. You're wrong. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I was taught. Like,
literally that area of the world. Like, we've talked about it on the Fifi a couple times because I'm a kind of a history nerd when it comes to it. But that specific part of the world has basically been in conflict for about 3,000 years.
Literally.
Like, it's there's never been, because you have the Canaanites that came down. It's literally that entire fucking, it's just a fucking mess, and it has been a mess. Israel wasn't even a thing until 1947.
No one knows this. They don't research it.
Why would we research? It's stupid. Nobody researches anything. Why would you want to research? Like, it's just a whole fucking mess. It is a fucking mess. And I'm going to reiterate this multiple times, but being pro-Palestine is not anti-Semitic. It is not anti-Jewish anything. It is not, it isn't. What it is anti-genocide. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, in the simplest fucking terms, that is what it means to be pro-Palestine. It means to be anti-mass genocide, which is what has been happening. I think, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, Felicia and I gave you some stats as far as, like, you know, death counts and things. And as a matter of, like, I don't know, a couple thousand as far as Israelis, up to, I think it's like 30,000 right now. So let's not. We're not gonna. So, but what gigs do you have coming up? Where are you traveling? Where are you going? What's happening for you in the next random year? I mean, see it.
Let's see. So I actually have a gig this Saturday. but thankfully, talking with a friend of mine, I'm actually kind of excited for this one. I'm going to be trying to do a Wile E. Coyote number with just signs. I'm ready for this. And then, you know, just some chill. I'm working on doing, not ballads, but, you know, some, like, not so running around numbers, you know, where Chase just kind of chill. the biggest thing is, let's see, end of May, so May 25th, actually. So for anyone in the southern New Mexico, like Las Cruces area, whatnot, myself, Violet Stratton, Allison Saint, and I believe Busy Bee. It's Violet's newest baby. We're all going to be down at New Mexico State University doing one of their quarterly shows, which is one of my favorite places to go. It's an outside venue, all ages. So we have people from all over cruises who come because they all get to just sit outside and watch a drag show. And they always treat us super well there. They always take good care of us. So that's end of May. June, as I call it, is my hell month. For my actual full-time job. So, you know, like I said, I work for Planned Parenthood. I work in HIV prevention and outreach. So I hang out with the community. That is my job. So Pride, Albuquerque Pride is the second weekend of June. So I'm booked for that at my home bar, the festival. I'm also doing testing and outreach that weekend. There's a chance that I will be in Colorado Springs that first weekend for that queer prom. End of June, I am in Nashville Pride.
You are just all over the place.
I'm all over the place. And then I've got a couple things that are getting planned for July and August. My hope is to be going to Palm Springs Pride, which is the weekend before my step down. Get a little fun in before, you know, all the craziness. And then, oh, there was another big one I was going to do, but I can't remember it right now. Basically, I'm just, it's the all kinds of messages are just coming in at this point. So I have a spreadsheet to help me keep track.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I get it. No, it's awesome. I love seeing you get out there. I love that you met Salem because I got to hang out with Salem and Jupiter a little bit at AIDF last year, and I fucking love both of them. They're fucking
good. I love them. Especially Salem. Oh my gosh, we clicked. Our weirdness just.
She messaged me and she was like, "Oh my God." I'm like, "Oh hell."
No, we were just. It was perfect. No, I love them. I get to see them in Nashville Pride because, you know, they are the mixed Nashville Pride. Mm-hmm. Jupiter's Mr. Nashville Pride. So I'm excited to spend a weekend with them. Like,
that's awesome. And I need to get back out to Albuquerque. I miss everybody in Albuquerque. I haven't seen you all in way too fucking long.
Like, things are different here, but I'm happy. But no, I recently also was in Tulsa for Bold and Beautiful Elite.
Oh, no, you froze. Where did you go?
Getting just people over the COVID. I won't lie. I was thinking about it. The last time I was on the show with you was 2020 when I was supposed to go to Nationals, when you were supposed to step down the first time. I didn't win that time, but I won this time.
Seriously. What's your social so people can keep track of you and where you're going? If they're in the same area, they can go find you.
So on Facebook, it's as my name there, Trey C. Michaels. And then on Instagram, it is Mr. _ TCM. And Mr. is MISTER.
I feel like I need to start a petition to get you to change your last name just because the pun is like just too fucking perfect. I've been telling Trey for years that he needs to like keep Charming as his last name, because then his name would be Trey Charming. It's fucking perfect. It's a fucking perfect pun. I'm gonna have to start a petition, like a change.org or something. Like change.org, like, because it's like, I'm just saying. So make sure that everybody follows Trey on all the things, because he may be in your area at some point. So do the thing. What do I have coming up? So next Friday is May 3rd. I am in the Secret Garden show, which is going to be hosted by Carmen Sideme. There's some great entertainers going to be joining me. Rita Bain is going to be there. Rusty the Clown. It's going to be fun. It's at a new venue. It's a cute little space. But you won't know exactly where it is until you buy tickets. And there's only a handful left. So make sure that you get those tickets. It's on Carmen Sideme's Instagram. It's on my Instagram. I posted it on my Facebook. I'll be posting it again at some point, probably in the next day or so. So make sure that you get your tickets and do that, because that'll be super fun. May 18th, Felicia and I are hosting a drag bingo. I can't remember where it is, but that's also on my Facebook. I'm terrible. It's fine. It's on the Facebook. It's basically supporting, it's a fundraiser for like pro abortion, right?
Yes.
So good thing. It's a good thing. And then of course, Fan Fusion is coming up, the weekend of, basically May 24th, Labor Day weekend. So if you are going to Fan Fusion, make sure that you make time on May 24th, which is the Friday, that Friday, make sure that you make time, because you want to make sure that you go to the drag show and the burlesque show. I am actually performing in both. If you can believe that shit, maybe there will be stripping happening in the burlesque show.
Yes.
I'm so far behind on everything. but there are some epic numbers planned for the drag show. Y'all have no fucking clue. It's going to be absolutely epic. It's going to be so, so good. And then on Saturday, I'd have to check the times, but Justin Sider and myself are running the Nerdly Wed game. So you want to make sure that you get and sign up for that, because that's going to be fucking amazing. There actually be two chances on that. There is the family-friendly version during the day, and then there is the not-so-family-friendly version at night. So you want to make sure that you are able to do that. Also on Saturday, I believe at noon, but I have to double-check that, is Drag Story Hour. I believe Felicia Miner is going to be hosting that one. And then Sunday, I believe at noon, is another Drag Story Hour, and I'm going to be doing that one. So yes, there's a weekend of all sorts of cool shit to do at Phoenix Fan Fusion. And of course, if you have tickets to Phoenix Fan Fusion, then pretty much everything else is like free to attend. So go to the workshops, go to the thing, go to the stuff that I'm doing, because bodies and the chairs are awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everyone that watched us tonight, that will listen and watch us on the replay and on the podcast. We are now over 15,000 downloads, which is kind of, I'm not mad about it. I am not mad about it. For those of you that like have us on while you're like sleeping, I'm okay with that. For those of you that listen to us, like while you're in the potty, like I'm okay with that too. I really don't care. It gets us the listens. It gets us the views. I'm all for it.
You can have feet anywhere.
Right? You know, if it's what you use to put your baby to sleep, great. I don't care. Just listen to it. That's fine. And of course, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much to Mr. Trans USA 2023, Tracy Michaels, for joining me this evening, because Felicia is doing whatever the fuck it is that Felicia is doing. I don't even know. Didn't ask. But I'm so glad that Trey was able to join us. I think that we had a fantastic conversation. So make sure that y'all share this episode so that people can, you know, see all the magnificence that happened this evening. And of course, we will catch everyone next week on Let's Have a Fifi, your Wednesday night conversation. And until then, good night.